you guys, welcome to the Horse Trader's Diary. This is Tara Sanders, and I not only have Aspen with me.
Hi, guys.
I have Desi.
Hi.
Okay,
hi.
So,
And Tinley.
So, first of all, we're just... Hi, baby. Hi, gorgeous girl. First of all...
Hi, Tinley.
We just left from having lunch with a customer of ours who has bought 8 horses from us. Wonderful people. I turned around and got a horse from them that is now Aspen's barrel horse. Just really amazing people. And I'm just telling you guys that the one thing I said when I got in the car was, I wonder if people out there really know how truly weird we are. Or if they... Desi is laughing because she knows I'm right. She knows I'm right. I'm just telling y'all. I don't know if you guys have friends that are just as weird as you are, and it's amazing. That's my life. I mean, so the girls that work with me are just as weird as I am, if not maybe weirder.
Maybe a little weirder.
No, I don't know. I'm pretty weird. But anyway, so Jacob is coming back today from Billings. We're super excited. He actually bought a registered quarter pony. We have a Warlander coming. He's actually by a Warlander stallion, which is exciting for Desi because Desi loves Warlanders.
I do. I really do.
She really does. And Warlanders, for those of you who don't know, that is an Andalusian Frisian cross, right? That's just, yeah, they're
Lusitano
just
Andalusian Frisian.
Yeah.
Lusitano Frisian. Yep. So we are super excited. Okay, so I was rudely interrupted by a phone call, but it's fine. We're fine. We're back. And I'll just have to piece the segments together, so that happens. Okay, so where was I?
We're people.
We are weird. So Jacob is in Billings, and we're home. Jacob bought some cool stuff. Desi likes Warlanders. They are Frisian Andalusian crosses, Lusitanos. I call them Lusitanos. I call them the wrong name for a really long time, and finally somebody like sent me an inbox message with like a voice clip of how to say it. Lusitano.
I still have trouble saying Akateki.
Akateki?
Yeah, I can't say it right. I don't feel like
I think the only reason I can half-heartedly say it is because Tina raised them for so long.
Akatekis?
And so I just heard her say it so much.
It's easier for you.
Yeah, Akatekis, yeah. I venture to say I'm the only kill pin in America that's actually had some registerable Akatekis come through. And we've had 4 or 5.
Yeah.
But you know, I received a lot of hate at one time because they said that I was like a, what do you call a retail rescue, you know, for dogs, like where they only, like they pick and choose what they'll take. And that's not necessarily the truth, but I will tell you, if Jacob is at a sale barn, and like we have one right now coming through, that Warlander, heck yeah, I gave more for him than to kill. Like, I want one of my customers. Like, I'm a little selfish that way. Like, I want one of my customers, one of my followers that I love, to be able to take that horse home. Like, it's like a competition to me. The way I look at it is, when we go to an auction to buy, we're not the only volume buyer there, which I don't call kill buyers. I call them volume buyers. That's the actual name. I mean, you guys out there in the public have been heard them referred to as, oh, they're kill buyers. I call them volume buyers. The reason I call them volume buyers is because they just buy volume. They buy everything from killers to traders to pony, just whatever. Just, they buy volume. So even at the auctions, that's generally what they're called. There's individuals and there's volume buyers. They don't generally call them kill buyers. That's why I don't like the way Elkhart feeds off of the public calling them that.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, the kill buyer's in. No, that's not accurate. The kill buyer is not fucking buying a $6,750 horse.
No, they do that to drive up the price.
They do it to pull at people's heartstrings, which is almost worse to me than like, you know, people say, oh, well, you put ship dates on horses. And I'm like, well, what about the sell barns? Who are like, the kill buyer's in. Because you have to remember that the more the horse brings, the more the sell barn makes.
Right.
So I don't like it because they're not kill buyers. They are volume buyers. So as soon as we recognize that, stop calling them kill buyers and call them what they are. They are volume buyers. So, like, Jacob went to Billings. There was 30 volume buyers there. The guy from Washington. There was several guys from Oregon. Some guys from Nebraska. A guy from Tennessee. Then we have all the buyers from Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas. Two from Oklahoma. So when you have 30 volume buyers there and there's 500 loose horses, I look at it a little bit like a competition. I'm trying to buy the best quality horse for the littlest amount of money possible so that we can bring them home, so that I can bring them to my customers. Because I'm not saying that if you're my customer, you can't also be Toots Baker's customer, or you can't also be someone else's customer. But in theory, generally, most of us have a customer base that chooses to buy from us. And I feel that way. I feel like there's people that probably... I'm going to go around him turning. I feel like there are people that might buy from somebody else instead of me. Whether it be because of location or just the relationship they already have. But I look at horse trading in a completely different light than the general public. Or I think even than other horse traders. I think it's what's made me so successful.
Well, and the level of success that you've reached by following your plan is why you have so many people that dislike you as much as they do, because they want to do what you are already doing, and you are time and again successful at following that plan.
Well, and this is what I told somebody 9 years ago when I started being a horse trader full time. I trained racehorses for a little bit in that period, but I mean, I was still selling horses 50% of my day. You know, like, I would go to the barn in the morning, then from the moment we finished at the race barn until we started feeding in the afternoons, we were evaluating horses that Jacob had drug in from auctions. Because Jacob is just a volume buyer, whether it be cattle, horses, sheep, pigs. I mean, you can send Jacob to a sow. A sow. Anyway, you can send Jacob to a sow and he can pencil whip you. And that's the one arsenal that I have in my back pocket that a lot of people don't have. Is Jacob is a smart buyer. Not only does he have a very articulate eye, so he sees things a lot of people don't see, soundness wise, wind puff wise, a little hitch and a get up. Like, he will send me notes on horses and be like, okay, this was what it said, but I noticed, like with Frosty, he was like, I think that horse has some mild ring bone. Most people probably didn't even notice that. Mm-hmm. But Jacob has also been around for Vet Day for 9 years, to where he's learned, like, we have good success with ring bone in this location. We have good success with, I've had great success with horses with mild stifle issues, because sometimes those horses just need an osteopath and an injection and they're sound the rest of their life without a problem. What I love about that is it gives us the opportunity to change the life of a horse that there's no freaking way possible they would have the quality of life moving forward from us had they not come to my facility.
See, that's the thing that sets you apart from the other volume buyers, is that you do care about
the
quality of life for the horse.
Absolutely, because
you're not trying to just flip the horse and make a dollar.
No, but I will tell you that my customer base has afforded me the ability to be a better person. I will tell you, I am a way better person with money than I was without. I'm a way better person with money than I was without. Not because... And let me say this, not because when you, I'm not gonna devil's advocate that. I absolutely am. One, because you're happier, you have more positive things going, you don't have as much stress, and you have the ability to keep horses like Rooster for months instead of days.
Right.
I mean, that's just the end of the story. Like, I have the ability to keep a horse like Rooster for months until they are genuinely ready to rehome. Uh-oh. And you know what? We collectively made that decision. I would like to think that even Desi felt like she had a little bit of say-so in what leaves. Because she didn't want Freckles to go, and he didn't. And he was going to. There was room on the second load for him, and there was one extra tag. And it was Freckles, and I didn't send Freckles because Desi didn't want Freckles to go. And for whatever reason, it doesn't matter if he just brings her joy in her job. Then he's worth feeding for me. Because Desi is such an instrumental part of my program. So if keeping Freckles around just gives her a little bit of
joy
and security.
Joy.
Well, not only joy, but just security in that her opinion matters. And that's another thing I think that horse traders forget, is that you have to learn to evolve with the times. And I think that we are in a weird time to where old school horse trader mentality is a good thing. And then new school horse trader mentality is a good thing. And I'm one of the few people that have been able to understand both.
Both sides.
I understand that you buy horses to resell for a profit. But I also was raised... Oh. Yes, get it. Hit that high note. Tinley, that's enough singing. So my child obviously has a second go in her. Come on, snap, Aspen. It's like poetry hour.
Yay!
Good job! Every person that officially downloaded this podcast just regretted it on a very serious level.
There's some blown speakers
yes.
out there.
Tinley. Baby. Hold on. Just 5 seconds. Let's just take a break from singing. I hate for your vocal cords that will someday be our money maker and help mom to retire get blown at the age of 2. So let's give them a little rest. I'm going to need those for like America's Got Talent. Just kidding. But my child does love to sing, and I can't carry a tune in a 5-gallon bucket. So she didn't get it from her mama. So Tinley, we're gonna hang on the singing. So I don't know how many of you are a working mom, but like kudos to you. Kudos, because I'm telling you, having a 2.5-year-old and a full-time job, especially at the level and at the size that I do, it's a lot. And I'm just telling you, my house looks like something bad happened. There is no way. And I want you to know, if you're listening to this podcast and you were like, how do you do it? I just don't. There are just things that I just can't do, and I've had to just completely outsource them because there's no possible way. And I've noticed recently online that people, as I've grown, there are people that have like picked out something that I can no longer manage and almost pick on me for it. Like, oh, well, you think you're too good to do this or that. And I'm like, no, I literally just cannot do everything to the best of my ability. I had a lady the other day kind of get ugly that I couldn't mail the cookies. And I said, I can't. That is Aspen's job. There's just no way I can micromanage that. She knows to do it. Just text her. And she's like, oh, well, why can't you? And I'm like, ma'am, I'm doing good to get the things I need to get done in a 24-hour period done in a 48-hour period. So please. And the same thing for Desi. There are things that she does that are just...
Tinley, hang on.
No, that is just... Tinley said that this is her opportunity for somebody out there to hear her sing.
And make her a star.
You calm down.
Hey, you were just the one who was telling
I know.
Her. So, excuse me.
So, I'm telling you, it's a real show around here. But I do think that my business has grown to a level very different than any other horse trader. I venture to say, with volume, with quality, with whatever, we sell as many horses in a week as most do in a month.
Yeah, I'd say for some a year.
We do about 50 a week on average. So those are big numbers. I'm proud of those numbers, but with those numbers also comes people that are not my demographic of customer, you know, that I run into. Also occasionally you'll run into just a horse that you really thought more of than what they probably were. And I'm bad, I will say. I'm a little bit bad to give horses a little bit of extra credit. I think some people might be a little tougher on their killers than I am. I try to give them a lot of, I just feel like I try to give them a little bit of credit. They've been through a lot. But I've seen a lot of horses come through our program that went home and were much better horses than they were at my facility.
Yes, they were.
Yes, because they got home, they relaxed, they got their ulcers treated, and they were hands down better. And I've had some leave, and they kind of pulled shit and were turd buckets, and you're a little disappointed in them. But at the end of the day, I think we collectively try to do the best that we can by the horses. And I want customers to know that. Like, it's really about the horses. So you're shopping on your behalf, and we are going to do the best that we can by the horses. And if you have issues with a horse from us, I want it to be known. Like, if you call, there's a way to say it. There's a way to approach it. You know, like, hey, I bought this horse. I don't know. I mean,
don't just call and be like, oh, this horse is all fucked up and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's tough. Like, it's tough because you have to remember that we all have a little bit of emotional attachment. So it's kind of like kicking somebody's kid.
Right.
Like, hold on a second. You know, like, I understand that it's done something wrong, but it's an animal. So let's, like, have a little talk about this. Like, or better yet, like, to get it home and say, well, you know, I think it's just not what I'm looking for. Okay, well, you picked it, and you watched the videos, and you saw. I really love when people. I had a lady the other day, and this is a little bit our fault. She said, I got my horse home, and I slipped the bridle off, and I tried to ride him around bridleless, and he ran off with me back to the barn. And that horse, we didn't ride him bridleless. And I probably honestly wouldn't have thought he would ride bridleless had she been like, hey, do you think this horse will ride bridleless? I would have told her, nah, probably not. Now, do I think every horse can be taught to ride bridleless?
Yes.
Yes. But absolutely.
Here's the other thing. When you just go and get your horse home and you don't build
the
a relationship.
The thing not to do is to get about half a mile away from your barn. Turn around to be on your way back to the barn and think, you know what, I'm on the way back to the barn.
This is a great time to try because
it's almost worse going back to the barn because a lot of horses are a tad bit barn sour naturally.
Yeah. I would be like, doing it in the shed row.
Yeah, like, so
or
we
right
start,
next to the barn.
We start all of ours in the shed row.
Yeah.
Like, we start all of ours in the shed row and we start with a pattern of go down, stop, turn around, go down, stop, turn around with the bridle so that that's already in their mind. Then you drop the bridle and you do the go down, stop, turn around without the bridle, but they already know that pattern. Like, they already know
what's expected.
Yeah. Or sometimes if you're really not sure about the horse, put your reins up or just set them down and get a different rope and put it around their neck just in case something's gonna happen.
I've had lots of horses that I have taken what I call a check rein, which is just a third rein with me.
Yep.
And that way I don't have to drop the bridle and I can, like you said, just set the reins down and use a check rope around their neck.
Just for extra safety.
Yes.
If you're really unsure about
so
your horse.
So we're gonna kind of do some videos on Liberty work. We just have to find time to do them because pretty much everything that I keep long term, you can ride bridleless. I just feel like if you have a good relationship with your horse, you should be able to leave the barn with just a rope around their neck and you should have no worries. I mean, Rooster is probably one of the most goosey horses on our property. I mean, we sold him this weekend. He brought 10,000. He was the third high selling horse at Navasota. Aspen took him, super proud of her. And she paid very close attention to who bought him. So we PO'd a couple of horses that weren't purchased by people we felt comfortable but we sold several. And there were some horses that sold for enough money I would have taken the money, but I didn't particularly think that the bidder would, either they hadn't spoke to Aspen or they had, but we really just thought it was a horse trader type thing. So Rooster and Quincy went to the same home.
Navajo went to an amazing older gentleman.
Yeah, Navajo went to an amazing older gentleman. And Lunchbox went to a kids riding program. So those were great homes for those particular horses. And then when you fast forward past them to the ones that we brought home, it, like I said, I mean, Pepper brought 6,000 and we PO'd him because a horse trader was buying him. And it was a horse trader that can be really hard on horses. And Then I think Beaver brought 5,500 or 5,700 and we PO'd him. And those prices were disappointing. I mean, that's 11,000 and some change for the pair, 11,700 for the pair. So I would have taken that. But you have to make sure that the horses are being sold to somebody. And I'll say Navasota did a really good job of being very accommodating to us and being very accommodating to Aspen, and really allowed for us to be able to discuss the horses and to build like a good, I don't want to say relationship, but like a good
camaraderie.
Yeah. With their customers, you know, so that you really knew who was buying your horses and you knew who was bidding. And I think that that's important. So I don't know. There's like that cool
I'm super
stuff.
Proud of Aspen.
Aspen did a fantastic job. Aspen is 19 years old, and we sent her all the way to a sale with 11 horses by herself, and she just absolutely killed it. She did. But you know, I'm a girl's girl, and I have a lot of faith in girls, and I try to surround myself by strong women.
Can we go in the house?
Yeah, we can. Yay. Well, we're home, and so we'll probably put this podcast up, and we'll do a follow-up. So if you guys ever look at some of the podcasts, go back. There's a couple of podcasts that have a second segment that's been added, like even weeks after the original segment. And those segments are like segments that didn't need their own episode, but they're pretty funny. I know that the question and answer 3 has an hour long addition onto it that people don't know is there. But a couple people have found it and messaged me and been like, that was so hilarious. I didn't even know it was there. So don't forget to check the old podcast and see if they have any add-ons. And we will add on to this one because we want to hear what Desi has to say. We should make you podcast with us every time.
Podcast.
Yes.
That's my opinion. My opinion's usually pretty weird.
My opinion is fucking weird every time. All right, you guys. Well, we love you. And this will just give you like 30 minutes of a little listening on your Sunday while you clean stalls. So we'll talk to y'all later. We love you. And we'll see y'all soon. Bye, you guys.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye, guys.